Let's turn to God's Word. We're turning to Romans chapter 3, book of Romans chapter number 3. And we want to read just a few verses as we come to the preaching of the Gospel tonight. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Let's pray. Our Father, we do come before thee tonight, and we thank thee for what has taken place. We thank thee, Lord, for the singing of thy praises by this congregation, by our sister. Our hearts have been blessed, and we thank thee, Lord, we've been pointed in all of our worship to Calvary. We rejoice that there is a work that has been done on the behalf of sinners. We thank thee, O Lord, that there is a Saviour who has died and shed his precious blood, opening up a way for us to be right with God and to enter heaven. We thank thee, Lord, that there are those who have trusted Christ as their Saviour. But Lord, if there are any in our gathering and they can identify with one of those verses we read, the way of peace they have not known. They have no peace in their heart, no peace with God, no peace from God. No peace as they look at death or eternity. We pray that tonight will be the night that they turn to Christ and call upon him for salvation and experience true peace, a peace that the world cannot give. I pray as God, a peace that cannot take away. Empty this preacher of self and sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and give me help to preach this word to the glory of thy name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Tonight I want to speak about the Romans Road. The Romans Road. You may have heard of that before. It's several verses out of the book of Romans that we can walk through, basically, and it tells us simply the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, I want you to listen very carefully, because my prayer is that you will be used of the Lord to reach souls for the Saviour, and that people will be able to come to you and say, how can I be saved? And through examples such as this, the Romans Road, you will be able to show them how to come to faith in Christ. If you're not saved tonight, I want you to listen very carefully, because this is the only way a man can be right with God. This is the means of salvation presented for us in Holy Scripture. There are five steps that I want us to take tonight along this road, and I trust that the Lord will bless us and write upon our hearts his holy word. Step one is this: we are all born in sin. We find that in verses such as Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no gospel song, and it says the first step to heaven is knowing you're lost. And that is so true. This is the first step on the Romans Road tonight. Before any man or woman can be saved, they must first of all understand and know that they are lost. There's none righteous. In other words, there's none who is good before God. We're born into this world as sinners. We're born with the nature of sin. We're born practicing sin. We're born loving sin. We're born desiring sin. The Bible says here, for all have sinned. This problem of sinful nature applies to every single person in this meeting. Every person watching tonight, every person listening to this message, there are no exceptions. The only person who was born into this world without sin was the God-man, Christ Jesus. He knew no sin. There was no shadow of sin even in his life. He was perfectly sinless. What is sin that we're talking about here tonight? What is sin? This problem that preachers keep referring to when they preach the gospel. Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism number 14 asks the question, what is sin? I'm sure many will be able to quote it tonight, the answer. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. In other words, if we are not obedient to the commands of God and the word of God, we are sinning. If we break the commands and the laws of God, we are sinning. I'm just going to give you two verses very quickly. In 1 John 3:4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is transgression of the law. Let us think about some of the parts of the law of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, you shall not lie. Now, there's not one person can put their hand up in this meeting tonight and say, I've never told a lie. Not one. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There's not one person can put their hand up tonight and say, I've always remembered the Sabbath day. I've always kept it holy. We could go down every single one of those commandments and say we've broken every single one, but we only have to break it in one part to be guilty of a broken law. And the Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. However, it says in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And therefore, there are things that we ought to do. We know we should love the Lord. We know we should worship God. We know we should repent from our sin and trust in the Lord. We have a knowledge of that, but we do not do it. And therefore, to us, that is sin because we are not obeying the law of God. Sin is breaking God's law in thought, in word, and in deed. At times by what we say or do or think. At times by what we do not say or do or think. Because we are sinners with a sinful nature, everything that we do is sinful. Every deed, every thought, even though those things may be beneficial and kind to other people, they're done by sinners, and therefore our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. What is meant by the glory of God? For it says, all have sinned and come short or fall short of the glory of God. Well, the glory of God is God's perfection. It's his holiness, his character, his beauty. And these things are not naturally seen by the sinner when they look at the Lord. Whenever the unsaved person looks at the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't stand in awe of his holiness and awe of his beauty. But these things are things that are mark who Christ is. And friend, whenever we measure ourselves by the character of Christ, by the holiness of God, by his glory revealed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we come short, or we fall short is the meaning of the word. How do we fall short of God's glory? Well, we fail to live in a manner that is Christ-like. The sinner cannot live in obedience to God. Therefore, he does not live like the Savior. We feel and fall short of the glory of God because we fail to reflect his glory. You know, man was made in the image of God. A man was to declare the Lord's glory, but because of sin, man is unable to do that. Now, whenever a man or a woman, a boy or a girl is saved by the grace of God, the prayer of their heart is, Lord, help me to declare thy glory in my life. May Christ be seen in me, but Christ cannot be seen in the sinner because he is in sin. We fail to give God the glory that he is worthy of. We don't even recognize as sinners in the darkness of our sin how worthy he is, how deserving he is of our love, of our worship, of our hearts. And we go on in our sin falling short of the glory of God. If you're not saved tonight, you're a sinner. If you're not saved tonight, you come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is acceptable to God. That is the standard that God accepts. He accepts his Son because of his perfection and his glory. But he cannot accept you, sinner, tonight because of your sin. You can't be welcomed into heaven because of your sin. You are not acceptable in the sight of God because of your sin. The first step in the Romans road is that all have sinned. The second step as we walk along this road and receive this knowledge of the gospel is sin has a terrible cost. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Sin has a terrible, terrible cost. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, in this verse, we are taught something of how sin came into this world. And as you read down this chapter, it's expounded upon. But we know that it takes us back to the Garden of Eden, where God created this world by the word of his power in 6 literal days. We say that with full conviction. We believe it with all of our hearts. God spoke, and it was. I know many today would like to diminish the ability of the Lord and his creative power. I'd say it took much longer, and that's only figurative. But I believe God means what he says, and says what he means. And he says he created the heavens, the earth, the world, and all that's within in 6 days, and rested on the seventh. And God commanded Adam and Eve to eat of every tree of the garden apart from one. Now, we don't know how long passed until that time when Satan came and started to tempt Adam and Eve to sin. Whenever Satan tried to make God look as if he was holding back on them and holding something good from them, Eve reached out and took the fruit and disobeyed and led Adam to sin also. Now, Eve was the one who took of the fruit first. But if you look at chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. It was by Adam's sin that sin came upon mankind. Why is that the case? Well, Adam is viewed and seen as the father of the human race, the head of the race, the representative head, the federal head, and therefore he was representing all mankind who will live, all who will be born of his descendants. He is the common father of every person on the earth. Every human who ever lived has part of Adam's genetic makeup within their being, and therefore when Adam fell and became a sinner, he could only produce sinners. And therefore we all fell in Adam. Adam's sin is the sin of all. And the sinner is separated from God because of his sin. The sinner is sentenced to hell because of his sin. The sinner is a slave to his sin. He can't get rid of it. He can't overcome it. He can't have power to destroy it. The sinner is stupid in his sin. And I use that word carefully, stupid in his sin. Sin stupefies a man because he believes in his sinful state that he is okay, even though God says he's in danger, even though the Bible says he is under condemnation. Man, in his foolishness, in his stupidity of sin, says, I'm okay, I don't need the Lord, I know better than God. If we could only hear the cries of sinners in a lost eternity tonight. If we could only have 1 minute of our ears hearing the agonies, the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth, the sinner would call out for salvation. The believer would run to their family, to their friends, and beg them to come to Christ. My friend, God has declared it. And that's enough for us tonight. God, the creator of heaven and earth, has declared it, and that should be enough. You know what God says in his word? Matthew 25, then shall he also say unto them in his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Who's on the left hand? Those who are not saved. Friend, on that day when God calls all humanity before him, they'll be divided into two groups. Those who are not saved on his left and those who are saved on his right. There's no middle ground for religious people or half-decent people or good-living people. Friend, you're either saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're lost in your sin. Sin has a terrible cost. Oh, the danger the sinner's in tonight. Friend, sin never prospers. You'll never come out the winner in your sin. And you dare not die in your sin and go out into hell without hope of ever being saved. Yet that's what some of you did last week. That's what some of you have been doing for years out of this building. Decades. What if tonight was the final opportunity for you to be saved? Death and the sentence of eternal punishment has passed upon all sinners. The second step, sin has a terrible cost. The third step is Christ Jesus died for sinners. As we walk along this Romans road, we learn this wonderful truth in verse 8 of Romans chapter 5. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What wonderful news we can bring to you, dear sinner, tonight. Praise God, Christ died for sinners. Sir John Simpson, the famous Scotch surgeon, was once approached by a man who asked him what he regarded as his greatest discovery. And this eminent scientist simply replied, "My greatest discovery is that I am a sinner and that Jesus is a great Savior." Have you discovered that tonight? Are you aware of this truth? This generation seems to have lost all sense of sin. Some people say there is no such thing as sin. My friend, Christ came to die for sinners. He bore the punishment of our sin on the cross of Calvary. Is sin real? Look at Calvary. Does sin truly cost? Look at Calvary. Does God overlook sin? Look at Calvary. Will sinners be led off and brought into heaven in their sin? Look at Calvary. God spared not his only son, but gave him up to suffer for each one of us, to suffer for those whom he loved. And friend, not even his own son was spared. On that day, his account was credited with our sin. I love the words of that hymn, "There is a green hill far away," because they explain this so clearly. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. You can't avoid the cross and make it to heaven. You can't go any other way. The only way to heaven is through the Savior and the work he did on the cross of Calvary. That's why we sang the hymn, "The way of the cross leads home." And if heaven is going to be your home, you must come the way of the cross. Spurgeon said, speaking to his congregation well over 120 years ago, said these words, "Christian, beware lest thou think lightly of sin. It girded the Redeemer's head with thorns and pierced his heart. Could you weigh the least sin in the scales of eternity, you would fly from it as a serpent. Look upon a sin as that which crucified the Savior, and you will see it to be exceeding sinful." I'm glad there was one willing to take the punishment for sinners and die on the cross. Oh, many wicked people will make the accusation against God. That's not a God of love. How could a loving God allow this? Or how could a loving God allow that? But look at verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, the question should be put straight back to the person who makes such a sinful, wicked accusation. How could a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl walk past such love? How can you walk past such love as if it's nothing to you that the Saviour is bleeding and dying on the cross of Calvary? That's the question. That's the love of God. Whether a man accepts it or not, God commendeth or showed or demonstrated his love toward us because we didn't even desire his forgiveness when he died for us on the cross. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love. The love of Christ to me brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. Step four in this Romans road. The Saviour is calling the sinner. How do I know that? Well, I know that by several verses. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And every time the gospel is preached, God himself is holding out the gift of salvation to you, dear sinner. He is calling you to come and receive what has been purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. Freedom and forgiveness and cleansing and salvation. It can be yours tonight. You do not have to come with money to receive this gift. You do not have to come some weird way where you have to do all these rituals to receive this gift. You simply come by faith, saying, I believe Jesus died for me and offers me peace and eternal life tonight. If you live and die as you were born, then you will face eternal punishment in hell. Dying, but never dead. Suffering without any end. But what God gives as his gift to those who will come to him is eternal life. Eternal life. Spiritual life. Abundant life, eternal life is for those who will come to Christ and receive it by faith. And even as their body dies upon this earth, that eternal life cannot be taken away from them. Rather, the soul enters into the fullness of the life that it can never experience upon this earth because of our human limitations, because of the sinfulness of the world. But we enter into a place of no sin. And I'll tell you, you see the people in heaven, our dear loved ones who suffered so much upon this earth. Friend, they're living in a manner they've never lived in before. They're more alive than they've ever been before. They're perfect. They're holy. They're pure. They're rejoicing with the host of heaven. They have sung, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. They've experienced the fullness of life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What is required in receiving this eternal life? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus died for our sin. Believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That the work was completed. That the work was accepted. That God showed that work was completed by raising his Son to life everlasting. He lives in the power of an endless life. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus saves. I believe he can save me, and Lord, I'm asking you to save me tonight. Oh, Lord, come and save this sinner. Oh, Lord, come and make me clean before your eyes. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. Place thy spirit within. Make me thy child. And look what it says in verse number 13 of that chapter. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you remember at the start we said these words, there's none righteous, no, not one. Friend, that doesn't exclude anybody, for we're all included in that sentence. But here it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. None are excluded apart from those who won't come. The offer is open to you, sinner, tonight. You may come, a welcome to Jesus, calling upon his precious name. You can be saved. Our first step to heaven was that all are sinners. Our second step, sin has a terrible cost. Our third step, Christ died for sinners. Our fourth step along this Romans road, the Savior is calling the sinner. Our fifth and final step tonight is to view the great privileges that the sinner who is saved by the Lord enjoys. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. And we just leave three verses with you tonight. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified, that means declared righteous, by faith, as we call upon our God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that simply means as we come before the Lord, there is nothing that the Lord will bring before us. No accusation, no sin, because it's all under the blood. We can go to bed tonight and put our head upon our pillow and say, should I not wake any more upon this earth, I know I wake in heaven to be with my Savior. Do you have peace with God? Or tonight in this meeting, are you sitting wishing the preacher would stop talking about death and eternity because you know you're not ready and you tremble and you're fearful about what will happen on that day of judgment when you stand before God? Here is a promise that you will have peace with God when you're justified by faith. This is one of the privileges of the people of God. Chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, the condemnation that's against sinners tonight is that light has come into this world. And men love darkness rather than light. They would rather be in their sin than follow Christ. But praise God, when we're saved, the light of the world is our Savior. And we are now lights in this world through his power. And there's no condemnation. Oh, the devil may roar and accuse you of things that you did in the past. And the devil may bring them before your mind and say, what an awful person you are. But the Christian tonight can say, no, look at Calvary. It's all under the blood. That's how we fight against Satan with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. My sins are under the blood. And then, verse number 38 of that chapter 8. And this is our final thought here tonight. And the privilege of the sinner who is saved by Christ. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's, we have peace with God, we have no condemnation, but here's the wonderful promise, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Right now, dear sinner, you're separated from God. Your sin has caused a gulf between you and your God. But praise God, whenever we're saved, we are reconciled to God. Whenever we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells within. He has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. A friend, never for one second from you become a Christian will you ever be separated from the love of God. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never, never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. And we can lose many things in this world. Some by our own fault and some that we've no control over. But friend, we will never lose our standing in Christ. He is a powerful Savior. A great Savior, a covenant-keeping Savior. And nothing and no one will ever be able to separate you or me who are saved from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, if you're not united to Christ by faith, calling upon his name and washing his blood, then one day you'll be banished from his presence, separated eternally. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved tonight? Let's be still as we bow our heads, close our eyes. Friend, we've come along a journey along this Romans road. Some of these verses, most of these verses, I believe, will be familiar to most people. But is the Lord speaking to your heart tonight? Is there someone who can say that God is speaking to me? Preacher, I know I need to be saved. I need Christ tonight. Is there something holding you back? Is it sin? Friend, it's not worth it. It will damn your soul. Is it friendships or relationships? Friend, they're not worth it. It's better to go to heaven alone than to go to hell with a crowd. Maybe it's the thought of what you have to give up to become a Christian. You know what you give up? You give up your guilt, your shame, the burden of sin. And you receive so much more in its place. Will you not come to Christ tonight? Dear sinner, will you not say, I am coming, Lord, to thee. Blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus. Save me now. If you'd like to know more about getting saved, I will be at the front of the church here for a few moments after the service. Please come and speak to me. I'd love to show you from God's word how you can be saved. But where you're sitting at tonight, you can do that. Where you are at home in the meeting, you can, or in your living room, you can do that tonight. And if you have trusted Christ, do let us know, and we'd love to help you and encourage you in your walk with him. But don't leave without the Savior. Heavenly Father, thou hast told us in thy word, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Lord, we cannot discern between the outward appearance of the people in this meeting tonight, but Lord, thou knowest the heart. Lord, thou knowest that there may be one watching tonight, sitting at home, and they've realized tonight, Lord, they're not saved. And I pray, Lord, you'll give them grace to call upon the name of the Lord. Give boys and girls grace, even in this meeting. Older folk, give them grace, Lord. Oh, Lord, don't allow them to travel down the road to a lost eternity and eternal punishment when there's a Savior who died to save them. We thank thee, Lord, for the precious blood. Oh, we're so unworthy, but we rejoice and worship thee that the offer of salvation goes to the whosoever will tonight. None need leave without Christ. Give grace for sinners to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.